Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Coca-Cola FEMSA second quarter 2015 conference call. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded and all participants are in a listen-only mode. At the request of the company, we will open the conference up for questions and answers after the presentation. During this conference call, management may discuss certain forward-looking statements concerning Coca-Cola FEMSA's future performance and should be considered as good faith estimates made by the company. These forward-looking statements reflect management's expectations and are based upon currently available data. Actual results are subject to future events and uncertainties, which can materially impact the company's actual performance. At this time, I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Hector Treviño, Coca-Cola FEMSA's Chief Financial Officer. Please go ahead, Mr. Treviño.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today to discuss our quarterly results. This quarter, our company delivered strong results underscored by increased transactions, which outperformed volume growth in most of our markets, market share gains, solid pricing across our franchise territories, and margin expansions in almost every operation, particularly Mexico, Brazil, and Argentina. Our operators were able to produce these outstanding results despite a continued weak consumer environment in key markets such as Brazil, a slowly recovering consumer in Mexico, and ongoing exchange rate volatility in the Latin American region, resulting in negative translation effects and pricing pressure on our dollar-denominated raw materials. In order to provide our investors and analysts with a full understanding of our underlying operating and financial results, historically, we have shared performance measures such as currency-neutral figures or exclude the non-comparable effects of acquisitions. Going forward, we have grouped these concepts together with the elimination of the results of hyperinflationary economies under the term comparable. For the quarter, comparable consolidated revenues grew 8%, while comparable operating cash flow grew 9%, expanding margins to 21.1%, and comparable earnings per share increased 5%. Despite the foreign exchange loss resulting from a devaluation of the Mexican peso as applied to our U.S. dollar-denominated net debt position. Our innovative packaging and the strength of our portfolio of returnable presentations, coupled with our improved marketplace execution and the strong brand equity of our Coca-Cola beverage portfolio, enable us to generate increased consumer transactions across every market except Brazil. Our total transactions outperformed volumes by at least 1 percentage point in every market, underscoring our company's ability to provide our consumers with the right brand, in the right package, at the right price, and in the right place. This quarter, we generated more than 6.5 billion transactions across our 10 franchises, the equivalent of roughly 73 million consumers' interactions every day. Furthermore, our increased focus on intensifying our connection with our consumers and reinforcing our point-of-sale execution has also enabled us to either maintain or gain share in the sparkling beverage category across every operation, while improving our position in the non-carbonated beverage category. Our financial and operating discipline, along with our ability to tailor our product portfolio and pricing architecture to the current consumer and macroeconomic environment, enable us to continue improving our results in every market. In Mexico, where we face a slow consumer recovery and soft weather conditions in May, we deliver solid top-line growth, increasing our average price per unit case by close to 6% and growing our sparkling beverage volume by more than 1%, while expanding the number of transactions in this category by 2%, supported by Coca-Cola, Mundet, and Fanta. We complemented our top-line performance with 5% growth in the non-carbonated beverage category. This growth was mainly driven by Del Valle brands, in juices and nectars, which volume grew by more than 20%. The Santa Clara dairy business, which grew more than 120%, as we continued to expand its popularity through our home delivery routes and started selling in traditional trade channels. And Powerade, which volume grew by 10%, all of which built on flat volumes of value fruits. Notably, we continue to maintain market share in the sparkling beverage category, while gaining share across key non-carbonated beverage segments such as juices and nectars, oranges, water, ready-to-drink tea, and sports drinks. We have now reached 51% market share across our territories. Our continued ability to contain costs and expenses, coupled with the benefits of our currency hedging strategies and positive tailwinds in key raw material prices, yield an operating margin expansion of more than 60 basis points. This is excluding the effect of the equity methods from our Philippine operation and our non-carbonated beverage joint ventures. In Brazil, both our volume and transactions declined 3% as a result of the continued deterioration of consumer sentiment and the contraction of their disposable income due to rapidly growing inflation and higher unemployment rates. We continue to see positive results from our affordable portfolio strategy. The volume of Coca-Cola and Fanta in 2-liter returnable PET packages grew more than 28% and 13% respectively, as we continue to expand the coverage of these presentations. Additionally, the volume of our affordable one-way 200 and 300 milliliter packages grew more than 31%. We are reinforcing our water and non-carbonated beverage portfolio by focusing on improving the coverage of Cristal water, Del Valle juice, Valle fruit oranges, and Leao Fuse, our tea brand. During the quarter, these brands recorded relevant volume and transaction growth, and their market share trends are evolving positively on a sequential basis. It is important to highlight that we continue to gain market share in both colas and flavors, despite a more aggressive competitive environment. Our increased average price per case in line with inflation, coupled with our proactive currency hedging strategy and improvement in key operating indicators, continue to generate the efficiencies necessary to improve our Brazilian franchise operating cash flow margin by 40 basis points. In Colombia, we extended our portfolio's positive track record of volume growth to 11 consecutive quarters, while our number of consumer transactions rose in line with our volume growth. The performance of our sparkling beverage portfolio was supported by 10% volume growth in most of our flavored sparkling beverages and stable volumes of brand Coca-Cola. Our water portfolio's volume grew 7% thanks to the performance of the Brisa and Manantial brands. The volume of our non-carbonated beverage portfolio grew 12%, supported by a 17% increase of Del Valle Fresh Oranges and 9% growth of Power. Our average prices per unit case increased ahead of inflation generating high single-digit revenue growth in local currency. Supported by our improved point-of-sale execution and increased cooler coverage, we continue to gain market share in sparkling beverages and juices this quarter. In the short term, as we complete the first phase of our new state-of-the-art production plant in Colombia, we continue to operate the existing Bogota plant. This, in combination with lower comparable marketing expenses in 2014, has generated slightly margin pressures at the operating income level during this year. In Venezuela, while our volume remained flat, our operators delivered 2% growth in consumer transactions while gaining close to 2 percentage points of market share in sparkling beverages and close to 3 percentage points of market share in water and isotonic beverages. The volume of brand Coca-Cola grew more than 6%, compensating for a decline in flavored sparkling beverages as we continue to prioritize production of our fastest-moving SKUs. Despite the continued complex operating and consumer environment, our revenue management capabilities and strict focus on efficiency enable us to generate an operative cash flow margin expansion. In Argentina, our volume increased more than 12%, thanks to growth in every beverage category. Additionally, our consumer transactions outperform our volume growth by more than 2 percentage point gains. Brand Coca-Cola continues to gain share marginally, with 3% volume growth, twice as fast in transactions, supported by our 600 milliliter presentation and reinforced coverage of our 2-liter returnable packs. Supported by our returnable strategy and consumers' increasing preference for Sprite, our flavor sparkling beverage volume and transactions grew more than 26% and gained more than 3 percentage points of market share. We also continue to gain share in the water category with volume growth of more than 45%, supported by Aquarius flavored water and the continued success of Bonacqua. Cepita, Hi-C Oranges, and Powerade continue to drive significant rates of growth in non-carbonated beverages. Notably, Powerade more than doubled its market share year over year to reach over 30% of the sports drink category. Our ability to tailor our portfolio of products to satisfy our consumers' demand, our financial discipline, and our continued investment in manufacturing and warehousing enable us to improve our operative cash flow margin by 260 basis points this quarter. In Central America, our volume declined slightly for the quarter as the region faced a tough year-over-year comparison of more than 7% growth in the second quarter of last year, confronted a sluggish consumer environment and more intense competition in Costa Rica, encountered a slowdown in economic growth rates in Panama. Notably, our consumer transactions outperformed volumes by more than 1 percentage point in the region, particularly supported by our positive performance in Nicaragua and Guatemala. We recently implemented revenue management initiatives that enable us to more than offset local inflation in most countries, while continuing to gain market share, especially in sparkling beverages. Coupled with our tight control of expenses, these dynamics allow our Central America operation to improve its operating cash flow margin by 120 basis points this quarter. In the Philippines, we delivered positive results in terms of volumes, transactions, revenue, and more important, profitability. While our volumes grew 2%, our consumer transactions outperformed this growth by approximately 1 percentage point. Notably, as we continue to refocus our portfolio, our core sparkling beverages generate 7% volume growth and 11% growth in consumer transactions, supported by the reinforcement of our successful one-way single-serve PET packages. Moreover, through this PET portfolio, we have gained greater flexibility to adjust prices in this part of our portfolio, while refocusing on our returnable glass portfolio with the launch of Time Out, a new taller and slimmer 8-ounce returnable glass bottle for brand Coca-Cola, offering a more competitive value proposition for both our retailers and our consumers. Within the sparkling beverage category, our mix of one-way presentation has increased close to 5 percentage points compared with the same period 2014, while our mix of single-serve presentation has gained 350 basis points. Our average price per unit case grew more than 11%, supporting 14% revenue growth in the second quarter. Notably, June marked the fourth month in a row of positive results in terms of profitability. We are certain that we are on the right path to the successful profitable transformation of this important market. Moving on to our financial position and performance, our comparable earnings per share grew 5%, reaching 1 peso and 23 cents, while our reported earnings per share were 1 peso and 29 cents. The main factor affecting our earnings per share was a foreign exchange loss related to the depreciation of the Mexican peso as applied to our US dollar denominated net debt position of $700 million. For the last 12 months ending June 2015, our net debt to EBITDA ratio was 1.94 times, slightly higher than the December 2014 figure. The main factor contributing to this increase was the effect of the revaluation of the Mexican peso on our US dollar denominated net debt position and the reduction of our cash position resulting from the payment of the first installment of our dividend of 3.2 billion Mexican pesos. As we roll out the transformation of our company's operating and management model, we are also implementing initiatives to accelerate top-line growth in each of our markets, while protecting the profitability and cash flow generation of our business. In Mexico, as we celebrate the 100th anniversary of the Coca-Cola Contour bottle, we have an excellent reason to continue supporting the top-line growth momentum that we have generated so far this year. Supported by a comprehensive multimedia campaign, we will commemorate the anniversary of this iconic bottle with a series of segmented promotional activities and temporary packaging in and outs, focused on generating single-serve transactions, covering every channel and lasting well through the third quarter. In Brazil, we continue to focus on affordability. We will reinforce our existing colors of returnable PET packaging for the Coke, Coke Zero, and Fanta brands. We will further expand returnability to regions and channels that currently do not enjoy its benefits and deploy relevant promotions for our consumers while reinforcing our flavor sparkling beverage portfolio, expecting to continue gaining market share. We also recently bolstered our juice portfolio with Sucos Más, a new affordable nectar offering, and a rejuvenated Del Valle juice to offer value-added features such as enhanced vitamin and fiber content with less sugar. Additionally, we launched new presentations of our Fuse Leao tea brand to complement and to continue successfully capturing market share in this category. In summary, year to date, we continue to deliver solid performance across our operations despite of the challenging environment. We grew transactions ahead of volume performance in most markets while improving pricing above inflation. We maintain or gain shares in sparkling beverages and gain shares in relevant non-carbonated beverage categories. Despite of substantial currency volatility, our hedging strategy and favorable prices of raw materials allow us to expand gross profit margins in every operation. Comparable operating income grew 19%, highlighting equity gains from the Philippines operation and sustained margin expansion in Mexico, Brazil, and especially Argentina. The Philippines is evolving positively and delivering increased profitability as we continue this operations transformation, generating positive transaction growth and pricing in core sparkling beverages. And we deliver substantial volume and revenue growth for Santa Clara, our dairy operation in Mexico, doubling point-of-sale coverage in the traditional trade through our specialized sales force. Across every market, based on a stronger operational infrastructure and our financial discipline, our team's commercial leadership will continue to capture top and bottom line growth opportunities to strengthen our cash flow generation. As always, thank you for the continued trust and support in Coca-Cola FEMSA and its management. Operator, I would like to open up the call for questions.
If you'd like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is disengaged to allow your signal to reach our equipment. And once again, that is star 1 to signal for a question, and we'll pause for just a moment to assemble the queue. And we'll go first to Luca Capiccia of Goldman Sachs.
Hi, good morning, Hector. Thanks for taking my question. Two, really, one on Brazil and the other on Mexico. On Brazil, my question is the following. We're seeing in the second quarter, as it was the case in the first, profitability gains being maintained in spite of, you know, volumes decline that moderated, but still you know, represent the changes or the difficulty in the market. So my question is the following. If we were to go an additional downside risk in demand, as may be the case, you know, how confident you are that, you know, this step improvement that we've seen for margins is to be sustained, or in other words, how structural it is? Maybe if you can comment on that as the situation evolves in Brazil, and possibly there may be additional downside, at least volumes. And then secondly, on Mexico, maybe if you could clarify, you know, what is this in the strong revenue per unit case growth that you posted, what is the split between actual pricing and mix itself, which clearly with the divergence in performance of the categories, it played quite a big role, as you also say in the press release. So these two would be my questions.
Good morning, Luca. In Brazil, what we are seeing is a consumer that is still affected by all the increases in tariffs and prices of things like electricity and gasoline prices. What we have, and the strategy that we have been developing for several quarters now, is to focus on affordability. That's why, over the last two or three quarters, I have expressed a lot the importance of returnable packages in Brazil. Us finishing the new production plan in Minas Gerais is going to help us to have a better cost structure as we take returnable products to that part of the country. You have to remember that in Brazil the distances, and you know that, is very large, and all therefore transportation costs are quite expensive, and we believe that focusing a lot on these returnable PET presentations will help us to achieve this affordability for our consumers. You are right that there is a possibility that volumes might continue to be very soft, but we think that with the new cost structure of the new plan will help us in the margins as we explained over the last one or two quarters. In Brazil, we have been helped also by the very good performance of beer and non-carbonated products. The Leão brand has helped also the profitability for our Brazilian operation. So with all these factors, Brazil, I'm looking for a Brazil that will be under very difficult circumstances the rest of the year and probably a good portion of next year. But I think that our company is much better prepared to confront that difficult economic environment, again with the bottling of some of the distribution centers that happened with some of the investments that we did last year, and also the importance of the new production facility that we have in Minas Gerais.
Just before Mexico, on your comment about the beer performance in Brazil, is there something that you've changed in the strategy there? How do you put that? How do you explain that, considering the demand environment?
I think that what has happened is that for us, remember that brand Heineken is an important element in the portfolio, and very strange, but what is happening is that brand Heineken is growing very, very fast, and that has to do very probably with the fact that the A&B consumer is not as affected and the lower income part of the population. So there is nothing especially that we have changed, it's just that Heineken brand is getting very good traction on our territories.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. In Mexico, with respect to your pricing question, I think that, I mean, in general, what I can say is I think that Mexico performance is very good, given the fact that we are growing CSDs. And in spite of increasing prices last year because of the tax, plus capturing inflation, that, if you remember, was a 15% price increase of last year. And if I remember correctly, around March or April of this year, we increased around 4% on average the prices. So the 6% growth that you are seeing, I'll say this, two-thirds has to do with pricing, actual price increases, and one-third has to do with mix. During this part of the year, we have seen and we reported the drops in the volumes of water volumes, and that also has to do with the fact that we are trying to capture better profitability in that category, and we have been on and off increasing prices to test the market and see how can we have better margins in the water category. So that's why you also saw a reduction in the water volumes, while CSDs and juices and nectars and sports drinks and the rest of the category were growing, and that was helping a little bit on the price mix formula. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And we'll go next to Antonio Gonzalez of Credit Suisse.
Hi, good morning, Hector. Thank you for taking my question. Just two quick ones. The first one, in terms of gross margin, as you highlighted on your prepared remarks, there has been an expansion across territories year to date. I was just wondering if you can walk us through how's your positioning in terms of hedges for the second half of the year and whether you would expect this gross margin expansion to be sustainable. And secondly, just coming back to Mexico, I appreciate that water might have been a drag year to date in terms of volumes, but also, you know, the comparison base was easier in the first half of the year. You might argue that you had some government spending ahead of elections that also helped in the first part of the year, and now these elements are absent in the second half. So do you have anything you can share with us on how would you expect volumes in Mexico to improve in the second half of the year? And is there any figure that you're targeting in terms of volume growth, low single digit, mid single digit growth for the coming 6 months? Thanks so much.
Good morning, Tom. Let me first on the gross margin. What has happened up to June is that we have the federal impact of some raw materials that have been lower in prices in dollar terms. But on the other hand, the FX volatility that we have seen in Latin America is impressive. I mean, at the end of the day, when you compare Mexico June versus June of last year, we have a 20% devaluation of the peso, and the Colombian peso and the Brazilian real have the value close to 40%. So even from the just on the impact on gross profit, plus the impact of translating reais and Colombian pesos into Mexican pesos has impacted us, and that's why all this issue about comparability with some of the numbers, no? With respect to the gross margin, we have the benefit of, because we have a very disciplined way of looking at hedges. And more or less, we have between 50-60% of Mexico and Brazil, and a little bit more than that in Colombia, hedged during the first semester. We normally have, for example, for the following 3 months, very close to 60-70% of the dollar raw material needs hedged, and as we move ahead on a 12-month horizon, we have as little as 30%. For the next 6 months, we have in Mexico, I'll say somewhere around 40% already covered at what I consider, given the recent, especially yesterday's dollar prices, a very good rate, somewhere around in the 15.3 pesos per dollar. But that would cover basically, I'll say, around 40%. It is closer to, as I mentioned, 60% in the next 3 months and somewhere around 20-30% in the fourth quarter. In Brazil, we have similar levels of hedging at levels very close to 3 reais, a little bit ahead of around 3.02 reais per dollar, and a similar amount of a percentage of the needs being hedged, somewhere around 40%. Colombia is similar, again, it's like 50% in the third quarter and 30% in the fourth quarter, at levels that are also attractive compared to the present moment. And as I mentioned, we have a very disciplined approach of covering some of these needs. We have already started some of the 2016, where we have close to 15-20% of our needs covered for the first part of the 2016, the first half. So with all of that, I'd say that we have a positive expectation in terms of the of the gross margin, our gross margin for the rest of the year. I think that even though we have seen a higher volatility on the foreign exchange markets, we have a good percentage of our raw materials already. The dollar cost of the dollar that is dedicated to these raw materials being hedged. I have to say that, for example, in Brazil, where we do some hedges for sugar, the hedges had worked a little bit to the other side because we were hedging this last year and prices for sugar has come down significantly. So we have contracts with an implicit sugar price for us in Brazil that is higher than the spot market. But that's the way it goes on, and the way we have to look at these alternatives is to try to minimize the risk of, or the volatility on some of these, on the prices of the raw materials. The second question, Tony, if I don't know, it has to do with Mexico, no? That, yes. Sorry, Tom. You were going to say something, Tony?
No, please go ahead, Hector.
Okay. I think that it's a difficult question, Tony, in the sense that we have seen some indicators of a better performance of the second of the economy that will call for a better performance for us in the second part of the year. We are seeing some numbers, I mean, good numbers in the bad numbers in terms of same store sales for the supermarkets are growing. Some other companies are reporting good numbers in terms of volume. When you look at car sales, they have increased 20% versus a year ago, and luxury cars are increasing 40% versus last year. So there are some indications that the economy will do a little bit better. My expectation is that we will be in the low teens. I'm not seeing still an important recovery. I know that you have to bear in mind that for the consumer, we had a very large price increase during last year. So at the end of the day, the consumer in June is paying 20% more for a coat of what they were paying a year ago. So that has certainly people with very low real numbers. So my expectation for the second half of the year, Antonio, is somewhere in the low teens in terms of volume. We will continue to grow and look opportunities for revenue growth and see if we can improve the mix of our products. But that's, in my opinion, the reality for our industry in the second half of the year. No. Competitive wise, we are increasing or maintaining market share in most of our categories. In Mexico, we have very high market shares in some of the categories, so in those cases, we are maintaining market share. In some of the newer categories, we are increasing. But I think that the very important highlight is that despite the very high price increases that we have had in our approach, we are still seeing some growth, even though it might be low single-digit growth, but some growth in the volumes for the second part of the year. Okay?
And you would not be over yet with the adjustment in water between now and year-end, correct? It might probably take still the next 6 months to be adjusted, the water business.
Yes, I mean, the water business is, we are trying to move away, Antonio, from having a product being sold as a commodity. So we are trying to have a differential pricing. It's very tough because the retail system is used to a lot of promotional activity, not so much the consumer. So But as we are building the brand, we think that we will have the possibility of maintaining some pricing differential. In the water category, we haven't been able to have a price gap as we have in CSDs or other products. It's more of a commodity and it's a difficult market in that sense. So we'll see what we're seeing, and that's why the volume contraction is a volume contraction with very good pricing. And we are okay with that because I think that the profitability is moving in the right direction. We are adjusting those prices so that we need to find the right balance of price and volume on that category. Okay? So you will see some volatility still on some of the water volumes, but I think that profit-wise we are moving in the right direction.
Got it. Thank you so much, Victor.
Thank you.
And we'll go next to Carlos Laboy of HSBC.
Good morning, everyone. Hector, can you give us some more insight on the pricing? Is the pricing strategy your choice, or is the consumer weak demand kind of forcing you somewhat to use this price save lever maybe a little bit more than you would like?
Good morning, Carlos. I think that in general, as I was saying to Antonio, I think we need to find the right balance between volume growth and prices. But definitely, no question about pricing level is very important for us. And if we see a consumer that is kind of weak, as we are seeing in Brazil, with a lot of is very evident. Mexico, not so much. We think that Mexico is moving to a slow recovery, even though it's a slow recovery, but recovering. We look at the pricing levels and trying to focus on transactions and what is the price per transaction, and we are trying to move to single serve presentations. But trying to find that balance between affordability, volume, the consumer sentiment is the difficult part of our business, but no doubt about it. Pricing is one of the very important levers that we need to be focusing so that rather than just selling liters, trying to focus on the revenues and the margin contribution of every transaction that we do in the marketplace.
And we'll go next to Isabella Simonato of Bank of America Merrill Lynch.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I have two questions. First, in Mexico, Hector, if you could give us a little bit of more of color on how volumes performed within the sales channels, I mean, between the traditional channels and the others, there was a difference there. And second was the how did you feel the price elasticity in the first half after you increase prices again? Thank you.
Good morning, Isabel. Let me start with the price elasticity, because I'm not sure that I have a breakdown of the traditional volume versus modern trade volume. I haven't seen a specific trend that would call my attention on the volume difference between traditional and supermarkets or modern trade. But I'll ask Roland to work on a table with that and maybe share that information with you later on. On the price elasticity, I think that we're still looking at a category that is growing. I mean, if you look at CSDs specifically, during the quarter, we increased prices around 4%, and CSDs grew around 1.5%, a little bit close to 2%. So we are still seeing a category that is very resilient to the macroeconomic environment and to the fact that we are increasing those prices. I have to say that also some of our competitors have increased prices because, as you see, raw materials and the FX affecting the cost of raw materials, our competitors also increased prices to compensate for the margin pressures. So we were not alone moving prices during this quarter, no? But I still see that that elasticity being our category being very resilient to some of these price increases. As I said, a very big challenge was last year when we increased close to 16%, but we continue with our idea of at least maintaining inflation, at least maintaining prices in real terms. And we continue to see growth in the CSD category. And I would ask Roland to prepare a table with this division between traditional channel and modern trade, because I don't have that on the top of my head. So thank you.
That's great. Thank you.
And we'll go next to Andrea Teixeira of J.P. Morgan.
Hi, good morning there. Thank you, Hector, for taking my question. So just, to clarify, you sounded more optimistic into the second half, and I was wondering if you believe that, in the most recently, numbers that you're getting from the trade, that we're seeing better CSD volumes and then the balance between pricing and volumes, you're seeing better conditions there. I mean, I don't see your competitor coming out with good numbers. So I was wondering if you can comment on market share trends, or you believe that's mostly a total volume, a total growth in Mexico. And then if you can comment, obviously you're going to have this slight change there in Brazil for taxes. It's not going to be major, but if you're trying to take on more pricing in Brazil, as I mean, the body language and the comments that you made in the previous questions have been, indicating that. But if you can be more specific, if you're seeing real price increases, or it's going to be mostly to offset this light increase in excise tax there. Thanks.
Good morning, Andrea. I think that, let me start first with Mexico. When you look at Mexico, as I was saying in some of the previous questions and regarding the competitive environment, first of all, I think that you have to remind that our main competition is basically 100% in PET. So the impact of foreign exchange movements, it's you can argue that it's higher on them because in our tonal presentations we use several times the containers that we have for that, the bottles, no? So some of the competitors have increased prices also, and that's an important element here. The market share readings that we have, although they are a little bit delayed, but I think that they are correct for June. It's that in CSDs, we are basically flat with the very good numbers that we have. In juices, we are increasing a little bit market share. And sport drinks, we are increasing market share. And we are losing a little bit on teas, on fused tea. That's the reason that I have for market share. But I think that it will do. We need to wait and see how the competitors report on their volumes, no? I think that in terms of the within the Coca-Cola system in Mexico, we are very similar to the rest of the bottlers. We are probably a little bit ahead in volume growth versus some of our peers in the Coca-Cola system. As I mentioned, base is growing also very importantly from a very, very small base. In there, in base, we have around 300 dedicated routes that are selling juices and berries to homes, and we are seeing very good traction on those specialized routes. In Brazil, we have this change in the tax that so far it has not impacted. At the end of the day, the tax will be slightly higher than what we have, and our idea is that we need to adjust that price to the consumer. We will need to manage our portfolio. The trick is how do you maintain some of the magic price points. So we are doing everything we can to maintain the 1, 2, and 3 reais on the small presentations. And obviously the returnable PET also plays a very important role with affordability. And then to try to adjust in the other presentations a little bit more than the first year, so that in total we pass along this tax impact to the consumer. It's very small. I don't remember the amount, but there is a very small impact that we will have because of this change. Okay?
And actually, just on, and I appreciate the comment on Mexico, but on a sequential basis, like if you break down the 1.1 volume, 1.3, I believe, on CSD side in the second quarter, in terms of April, May, and June, in June, did you see better conditions, or because you no longer had, you know, the election? I know some of the bear people like talk about, you know, that the economy has been. It was strong in the second quarter because of elections, but do you see evidence of a deceleration in June or no? I mean, if you try to, as much as you can, be weather neutral there, how did you see the evolution in the quarter?
Okay, and, it's very difficult to be weather neutral, but I'll tell you some of the trends. April, we have a month that was kind of flat because we had the price increase during April. May was a bad month because of the weather, and June was a positive month. All in all, we have this 1.6 or whatever on CSDs, isolating the effect of the water trend. July, we are seeing still a positive growth, so I don't think that this impact of election, the so-called election impact, has had any specific movement in our volumes. So at the end of the day, we have more or less a flat, a slightly positive April, May, that was, again, kind of bad, and June was a good performance. Okay.
Great. Thank you very much, Axel.
Thank you.
And we'll go next to Ian Shackleton of Nomura.
Yes, good morning. I was keen to find a little bit more around the Philippines because it looks from the associate contribution that it has gone back into pretty good profit growth. I just wonder if that was sustainable or whether you still felt there was a need for reinvestment over the next few quarters.
Good morning, Ian. Yes, I think that the trend that we are seeing in the Philippines is a positive one. On the previous quarter, we have mentioned about the investments we were doing to convert the Philippines or to work in the route to market, in the portfolio, and the supply chain. We will continue investing in some production lands. We have our board meeting a couple of days ago, and we requested for some additional dollars to potentially invest next year a couple of production lines, one for PET and one for water. So we will continue to do some investments, definitely. We are seeing important growth in volume in what we call core brands. That means Coca-Cola, Fanta, Sprite, even Sparkle, which is is not non-core because it's a value brand that was acquired by the Coca-Cola company many years ago, but that is playing a very important role in the Philippines. And when you look at those brands, growth is very important. We have what we call volume detractors, and that's basically what Pop Cola, which is a cola brand that continues to reduce the importance in our mix, and another one called Royal, which is a kind of a Fanta flavor, an orange flavor drink that is also losing some market shares. Sprite is having a tremendous performance in the Philippines. In the Philippines, one of the strong competitors that we have is Mountain Dew, that's playing a very important role. So Sprite is our fighter for that. So in general, we are seeing very good positive trends where in the Philippines with respect to volume. If you look at the numbers, we are increasing prices importantly. The 12% revenue number is basically 1% volume growth and 11% prices. So that's also part of the strategy that we designed a few years ago of starting to get the advocate of the consumer and the preference of the consumer for some of these brands, and then slightly start to move prices and changing a little bit the mix towards presentation that have a better pricing formula. So my expectation for the Philippines is still with very low profitability levels, because although it's out in the black versus losing money as we were a few quarters ago, it's still at very low levels of profitability. It's 3-4% operating income to revenue level. So my expectation is to continue in that trend, to little by little improving that margin. But the good news is that now we have 4 quarters with positive operating income numbers. Okay?
Very good. Thank you.
And we'll go next to Geronimo de Guzman of Morgan Stanley.
Hi, good morning, Hector. Just one question on your margins. When I look at the margins in this quarter, the margin expansion was driven by gross margin, and relative to kind of what we saw in the first quarter, it seemed like there was more pressure on the SG&A side in both regions. So I just wanted to understand what drove the incremental SG&A pressure and kind of how you think about that SG&A going forward.
Good morning, Geronimo. I think that the issues that I think that we have very good trends on SG&A. Two issues to highlight that are still affecting SG&A. One is in Colombia, during last year, we had, because of the what we call the Plan Colombia, the Coca-Cola company was contributing a substantially higher amount than normally on marketing. So our marketing number in Colombia was very low last year, and we are now at a level that is the appropriate level. So that's more a comparability issue versus last year, again, because the Coca-Cola company was having a higher burden on the marketing expenses than normal during 2014. The other issue is that we have all these, what we call the efficiency and effectiveness process in our company. We do have some one-times that are being reflected in the SG&A as we are reducing the number of people in the company to look for these efficiency, no? So hopefully in the next year we'll see the fruits of one we get over this one-time expenses with respect to severances, no? But the rest of the SG&A, I don't see any specific highlight that is worthwhile commenting. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
And we'll go next to Alex Robarts of Citi.
Thanks. Hi, everybody. Two questions basically on stills and then Argentina. But there was one clarification. You said earlier, I just wanted to understand this, that talking about second half demand or volumes in Mexico, you said something that low teens, did I understand, was the metric or the growth. What were you referring to, and did I understand that right? Maybe you could just remind us what the thought was there for second half in volume in Mexico.
Alex, my team is correct. They say that I said low teens. Sorry, I meant to say low single digits. Sorry about that confusion.
That's okay.
And think low single digit numbers in Mexico. I'm sorry if I mentioned the Roland corrected me here that I did mention low teens. Sorry about that confusion.
No, I just thought maybe you were talking about Santa Clara or something. But look, I mean, on stills. Sorry. So the first question is really on stills. You know, I mean, Coca-Cola makes it a highlight yesterday in emerging markets for them. You know, they actually mentioned Santa Clara as you did today. And I guess, you know, kind of the big picture question I had on this one was, you know, when you think about, you know, over the last 10 years you've created these joint ventures, Sucumais, Jugos, you know, with Coca-Cola, you know, the thinking that faster growth from lower caps per cap consumption could really, you know, be an important part of the business and the profit pool. When I look over the last 5 years, and kind of just checked it this morning, but, you know, it looks like stills, which is the part of your portfolio that's grown in the second quarter and first half as well, year on year. But, you know, stills is 5% of your Mexico volume in the last 5 years, and 5%, 4.5%, 5% of the Brazilian volume. And I guess, you know, the question is that is this kind of where you thought you'd be at this point? It seems to have that faster growth, but I wonder from an economic standpoint, are you getting, you know, the profit that you thought you would as far as margins? We can't really see it the way you account for it, but, you know, is it still in the ramp-up phase? Do you feel there's a lot more that needs to be done where it can kind of start to have a measurable impact? And perhaps is non-organic growth the way to go? I mean, today, you know, you saw the juice acquisition in Brazil from the European beverage company. You know, could you comment a little bit then, you know, on really the role or the your self-report card, you know, on how stills are doing economically in the business for you, and whether non-organic might have to be something you turn to kind of speed up the growth. So that's the first question, sir.
Alex, well, good morning again, and again, sorry for the confusion with that answer. Let me talk a little bit about stills. Stills is a category in every market that no doubt is growing at a faster pace than CSDs. First point. The second point is, although it's growing faster, it's growing from a very small base. So it's still, and you're right, it's 5-6% of the volume in Mexico. It depends on the city or the region. In Brazil, it's similar in size. But again, growing at a very fast pace. If you were to look back at and if you want to be critical of our own planning sessions and all of that, stills are a smaller part of our business than what we would have anticipated 5-6 years ago. But what is happening also, Alex, is that CSGs continues to grow at a very healthy growth rate in most of the markets. So when we're doing planning sessions 5 or 6 years ago, and if you hear what the Coca-Cola company also mentioned in the 2020 vision and 2010, we were expecting Steels to play probably a bigger role or a bigger share of the volume and transactions on the system. And it's not that we are not happy with the performance of the Steels, it's that CSDs are continue to grow and Steels are growing at a very healthy rate, but not reaching probably the level that we were anticipating a few years back. Having said that, it's important also to mention that the economic model of the relationship that we have with the Coca-Cola company, we believe it's a positive one. Although for Confrensa, although the profitability of Steels in general is smaller than CSDs because of a number of factors, because we share 50-50 the profits, the main fact, important factor, we share that with the Coca-Cola company. But also, remember that all of these formulas have a more complex group of raw materials. You have juices that you need to bring from different parts of the world, etc. That the formulation of the product is more complex and therefore more expensive. But the other side of the coin is also that all the capex and all the investments are shared on a 50-50 basis with the Coca-Cola company. So when you look at the return on investment on the assets that you have, I think that is quite similar to what we have in solvents. It's not quite as high as solvents, but very similar, and it's not quite as high because of the scale that this business has and the many different SKUs and many different categories that we have within Steels. You still need to do production lines that have small runs as opposed to just producing Coca-Cola 24/7 in our production plants. So that calls for a difference in the efficiency that you accomplish. But we are very happy with the performance of Steels, although I have to recognize that it's not as large as what we were anticipating a few years ago. So please answer your question.
Yeah, for sure. But just on the non-organic side, do you think it might be, you know, looking for some targets? It looks like there was one that just, you know, got sold this morning. At least the public announcement wasn't, you know, for juices in Brazil. I mean, is that something, or is it really you want to grow this business organically? How open to you are you to M&A in the Steels?
Remember, Alex, that first of all, we are 100% aligned with the Coca-Cola company. The Coca-Cola company has this area of the business that is doing acquisitions in some of these new categories. And one of these examples is Monster. Another example is what they are doing with Keurig or the Green Mountain. Mm-hmm. So we are certainly open for more M&A activity. As I mentioned, 100% aligned with the Coca-Cola company in that front. But we do see opportunities there in the future also, of course.
Got it. Okay. Very, very helpful. Indeed, the last one was in Argentina. I mean, you know, very, very robust volume in this quarter. A Coke bottler last week showed something similar. And Chilean brewer as well showing very robust volumes in the second quarter in Argentina. And just wondering to the extent that this is a kind of more of a one-off situation that's, you know, pre-election type of environment with some extra spending in the street, so to speak, and then kind of a little inflation has come down over the last few months, still high, but it has come down. Is there something beyond this that might kind of allow us to think that second half could also be this robust volume recovery in Argentina. Obviously, it's tough to get out too far in the forecast there. But I mean, or is it something more, in Buenos Aires or something with the retail channel that has changed that is kind of giving you this seemingly interesting, boost in beverage demand? If you could kind of comment on Argentina and the outlook in volumes and what's driving your strong number there.
Yes, Alex. In Argentina, we have had, for the last two or three quarters, very, very good performance in Argentina. I would tend to think that it has to do more with our strategy than the spending because of the elections that are coming up towards the end of the year, in October. Let me give you a few examples. We have been working with returnable presentations importantly, and that has for example, returnables are growing for the second quarter at a pace of around 37%. It's very important growth. Sprite, which is a brand that is competing with a very strong 7-Up that is the leader in that category, is also growing close to 30%. Water, we have a new initiative in water that is also helping us to grow in that market. Power, as we mentioned, is doubling the market share numbers. So we think that we are doing the right things at the right moment. We did some investments in production capacity and in warehouse space, basically in increasing the flexibility of our operations to manage this additional volume. And from the macroeconomic point of view, we are seeing the Argentine consumer, kind of care about the inflation levels that we are getting. Everyone is kind of expecting the devaluation of the currency once the election is over, once we have a new president. When you look at some areas of the economy, like construction, is growing very importantly. We think that it's more as a hedge of using the Argentine pesos and buying some carat. So it's kind of a very difficult to read why the industry is performing so well and why our numbers are doing even better than the industry. But those are the trends that we see. We think that even though we'll have potentially a devaluation of the currency in the next year, we think that the country is in a much better shape than 10 or 14 years ago in the previous crisis, because there is not much debt in the country, because nobody has been lending to Argentina for many years, and unemployment is low. The price of soybean is very high compared to what we have a decade ago. So I think that the country is in a better shape to confront this situation. But no. It looks like everyone is very sure that once the elections are over, there will be some movements on the exchange rate in terms of devaluation of the Argentine peso. No? But in general, why the consumer is buying all of this, we tend to think that part of this is economy and part of this is the strategy that we have implemented, as I mentioned, with returnability, with Sprite, with water, with power in the marketplace.
Okay. Congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll go next to Gabriel Lima of Bradesco.
Hi, thank you, and good morning, all. Hector, I want to go back to this question on the Philippines, because When we look at this line where you report your JVs, the results of your JVs, right? I think this quarter you posted, if I'm not mistaken, the best result historically. You know, basically you came from a $100 million loss last year and all to almost a $200 million gain this year in the second quarter. So just wanted to understand what has driven this gain, because I thought it was the Philippines, but as far as I understood in your answer, the Philippines is doing well, but margins are not really, the evolution of margins is gradual and they are still in the mid-single digits. So just wanted to understand the dynamics of this line. That was important this quarter, and you know, I think it was a very good result there.
Good morning, Gabriel. That number that you were describing on the JVs is basically the effect of the Philippines, the fact that we have a loss last year. Remember that we discussed last year about the effect of some of the typhoons and how the transportation cost was very complex. We have much better control on all this, the transport, the freight expense or transportation cost of, on the Philippines, and that has helped us. We also have the effect there of Jugos del Valle, but it's a very small portion because most of the profitability of Jugos del Valle is reflected in the operating numbers. It's just what is reflected in that line is the percentage ownership that we have on the net income of the company that is called Jugos del Valle that has very, very low margin because of the model that we have in Mexico. In Mexico, most of the profitability gets with the Coca-Cola company and the bottlers, and Jugos del Valle has a 2-3% margin, so it's very, very small the impact that you have in that line because of Jugos del Valle. So, the impact that you see in that line, even though it's a very low profit margin, or the very low margin levels in the Philippines, is the fact that we are now gaining, have a positive operating income versus a negative operating income that we have last year in the Philippines. Okay?
Okay, so it sounds like we should expect positive results coming from that line going forward, right?
Yes, yes. That's my expectation, that to continue to have an improving margin still from a very low base. No?
Okay, Hector. Okay, so just lastly, can you remind us why the South American margins are, you know, pretty much half of your margins you make in Mexico? Is there, I believe it's not Argentina, so is there any specific country where, you know, you have, you know, this drag in margins in South America? Is it Brazil or Colombia? And, you know, if we look in a very long-term basis, is it possible to see the margins in this specific country, you know, ramping up to your consolidated levels? Thank you, Hector.
It's basically, I think that it's, I mean, for many years, Mexico has been the most profitable market that we have, and it continues to be so. I mean, in some cases, which is double the margins that we have versus some of the South American operations. That has to do with the scale, the fact that we serve a city of Mexico City that is very efficient, some of the pricing and the cost structure that we have, because oftentimes you find that even though some South American operations will have better pricing than Mexico, the cost structure is higher. It's multiple factors. It's very difficult to say one. For example, Mexico is in excess of 20% operating income margin. You have Colombia, because of the Plan Colombia, moving from somewhere around 18 to 12% now 18 or 3-4 years ago to around 11-12% during this quarter. Brazil has a low margin. Argentina has a double-digit margin, but in around 14-15%. So it's a multiple factors. Everyone looks at Mexico as the benchmark where they are trying to, and we measure everyone, you know, trying to see how can we get closer to the margin that we see in Mexico. Sometimes, for example, in the case of Argentina and Guatemala, labor cost is very expensive compared to what we have in other countries, and that's also a factor that might be affecting that. No? Okay?
Okay, that's helpful. Thanks, Hector.
Thank you.
And this concludes today's question and answer session. At this time, I will turn the conference back to Mr. Hector Treviño for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, thank you everyone for your interest in Coca-Cola FEMSA, and as always, we are always available to answer any remaining questions that you might have. Thank you so much.
And this does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.